Praise the Lord. Amen. Take your Bibles and go to the book of Job. I have a couple things I need to take care of this morning as you're turning. Brother Sam Destin was mentioned on our prayer list. His wife asked kind of if we would do a prayer chain, and I know that some of you may think that we're too big a church to do something as informal from the pulpit, have you raise your hand. I don't want you to do it because someone else is looking, but we're not going to put up prayer sheets, but today we were talking and Brother Perkins mentioned that it was going to be a critical time, and some of you I know will be on bus routes and in other areas today at different times. But if around 1 o'clock, if you just raise your hand so we could get, you know, just know we have a prayer chain going. Somewhere between 1 to 2, you could take time to pray for Brother Sam. He's in a real tough spot where he's at. If that'd be a time you could, if you could just slip your hand up, and that way we can know. I appreciate that. And if maybe at 2 o'clock, maybe you could take the 2 o'clock range, and there were several hands, so maybe you'd like to take the 2 hour. 2 to 3, maybe take and lift him up in prayer. If you could raise your hand just so I could see it. Thank you. How about 3 to 4? All right, I see a few there. And then around that 5 to 6 hour tonight, if you could, I see a couple hands. Thank you so much. And if you would do that, and again, even if you didn't raise your hand, if you think of Brother Sam this afternoon, he already had several ailments before they had this accident with the fire, and his wife just knew our church and knew our people would pray, and I just wanted to ask you to do so. It's not a sign-up thing, but if you could think of him this afternoon and the time that you... It would make sure that prayer is going up during his critical time of this surgery and what his needs are. I want to make another announcement that I did not give to Brother Perkins, and I apologize for that. I wanted to be able to explain it myself. We are going to start in Sunday evenings a volleyball league. It'll be sponsored by our college, and you can sign up. Is it in the back, or are we going to do it tonight? Okay, so tonight after the service, if you're interested, if you're 13 and above and you're interested in playing volleyball or just watching it, we're gonna have a meeting over in the fellowship hall, and we'll sign up and we're gonna make teams, and we're about 10 teams, or if we need more, we will. But you'll be scheduled at different times on Sunday night over at the gym to play volleyball and to enjoy yourself, and that'll start coming up soon. But we want to have the meeting tonight, and so if you were interested and you want to come back tonight, get signed up. We'll have a volleyball league, and then again, it will be ladies and men, and we'll sign up and have it very organized. There's some rules that we want to go over tonight. And so if you could, right after the service tonight, we'll do that right over in the fellowship hall very quickly, and we'll get you signed up, and then we'll get you on a team, and we'll enjoy ourselves. Amen. It's good to have fellowship with God's people, is it not? Amen. And so I do appreciate you letting me take a little bit of time to do those things. Job chapter number 10, I want to preach a message this morning. And I entitled it this, How to Move Out of a State of Confusion. How to Move Out of a State of Confusion. Now, Dr. Lee Robertson used to preach a lot of how-to messages, and I've read a lot of his messages, and I appreciate that, because sometimes we just need to know how the Bible lays out, how some structured things, how to do something, how to move on and things. Now, of course, this morning, if you're here and you don't know for sure that you're saved, I will say this, and you're confused about how to be saved, that today you can know that you know that you know that you're saved 100%. I appreciate the singing this morning. Choir, let me just say amen. I appreciate the song choices and the singing of singing out. What a blessing it was to hear about Jesus this morning in the song service and to hear about him coming again and his resurrection, and what a blessing. And then even that I can go in. I have a testimony this morning that I can tell you that without a shadow of a doubt, I know not because of what I did, but because of what Jesus did for me, that when I reached the shores and reach the gates of heaven, they'll not have to turn me away. Amen. I won't be there by accident, but I'll be there because of what Jesus did for me and the choice that I made to take his payment of Calvary, his payment, his resurrection, his death, burial, and resurrection, what he did, I took it as my own. I chose to receive him as my Savior, and that I know that I know that when I reach the gates, I can go on in. Amen. And if you're not like that today, we've gathered together as a church to make sure that you know that. We want to be able to open the book and make sure that you know that you know that you're saved this morning before you leave the building. Don't think when we end this, we'll have an invitation time where you can make your way down to an old-fashioned altar. There'll be men and women that will take the Bible and show you that how you can know for sure from the Bible that you can be saved. Now, it sometimes takes a little bit to step out, but can I tell you, most of the people in this building at one time or another did exactly what we're asking you to do. We stepped out on an old-fashioned altar and made our way down front, and someone took a Bible. I can say that I did that. I remember gripping the pew and holding on fast and waiting and saying, if they sing one more, I'll step out. And they said, I remember the preacher going, somebody else needs to come. And he sang one more, and I stepped out. I made a deal with God, and God fulfilled his end. Amen. He had paid it all, but I needed one more. Amen. I needed one more song, and they sang it for me. But here in Job, if you want to talk about someone that had to be in a state of confusion, he didn't understand necessarily what was going on. This is a man that I believe, I mean, he had it down. The Bible even uses this terminology for him, that he was a perfect man, that he was saved, that he was making these preparations, not only even sacrifices, not only for himself, but for his children. He was looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We get to look back at what Christ did. He was looking forward to what Christ was going to do and making offerings according to his dispensation. And as all these things are happening and going on in his life, God said, and we know because of the story, and I'm just going to get it quick before we jump into chapter 10, God, you know, mentions to Satan, and he says, hey, have you checked out my servant Job? And he said, yeah, you know, and just to paraphrase, this is not the King James Version, this is Barry Version, I'm kind of shortening it up for you right here, but he went on and he just said, you know, he said, hey, I would. But he's untouchable. You put hedges about him. And what a blessing it is as a Christian to have a good spurt going on in your life right now, because God has hedged you up in his providence, in his grace, that right now, you know, that all the tires are up on your car. Amen. And the battery works and all those things. And you're not in the midst of a trial. And God help us that we would even add we'd try to chalk up a dead battery next to what happened to Job. Amen. And I mean, if anybody went through it, old Job went through it. He not only lost some real things in his life, I mean, some riches and money and things that we could all say, you know, some of those came and went on us, but I mean, he lost his children. Can I just say, if you lost everything you own today and you still had the blessings that God gave you and your children, what a blessing you'd still have on this planet Earth. Amen. You'd still have something to invest in. And so many times we forget those things. We forget that even when we may not have the comforts, amen, we still have a lot of things to thank God for. Amen. And so Job is going through this trial and he's confused by the time we get to chapter 10. He's trying to really work out some things. He's even, if I could say this, I believe he handled it like no other man would, but I mean, Job got a bad attitude along the way here. Now, it may have been his friends that it rubbed off on him and brought him a bad attitude. I can't say that or not, but I just want you to dive in here. And as far as the message, he uses the word confusion here. And I believe this, and I think I ought to do this in introduction. Can I just say that our country's in a state of confusion today? All right. I mean, there are people that are confused about what gender they are today. There are a group of people today that are confused about whether they believe we're going to have an ice age or whether we're going to burn up because of heat. We have a bunch of people confused today about what kind of system that whether we should become socialist or whether we should stay with the system that has worked since we started. Amen. And again, I just don't understand. We live in a country that's in a state of confusion. There are people all around us that are in a personal state of confusion. And some of those, listen, it's because we live in a day and age. Let me land right where we are. Okay, we believe that the King James Bible is the perfect word of God, inerrant, and it is the Bible for the English-speaking people. We are in a country and in a state of confusion because even people that ought to know better, religious people, have become confused because God is not the author of confusion. And when there are 300 and some translations of the English Bible, and none of them say the same thing, I believe someone that I know wrote a book saying things that are different are not the same. God wrote one book. He put the words in it for every language. And in English, it's the King James Bible. God has put his stamp of approval on it. And can I just say today, listen, a lot of people are in confusion because they don't know. Listen, they're reading a book that tells them something that's wrong.
They're reading a book that's full of error. They're reading a book. Even good people that may line up with us politically, they've got some confusion or strange ideas because they ain't got the right book. They don't have the right foundation. Can I just say this? God does not the author of confusion. I think that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, verse 33. He even says this as he goes on, and I'll try to do my best here. God's not the author of confusion, but of peace. That God that we serve, he doesn't want us to be in a state of confusion. He wants us to have peace about salvation. He wants us to have peace that we have the Word of God. He wants us to have peace that the local church is the place that we ought to be. You know, some of them are confused about what is the local church today. Some people met yesterday because they're trying to keep and fulfill the Old Testament because they're confused. Listen, the best way to get out of a state of confusion, we'll see how Job is in a state of confusion, then we'll dive into the book of Galatians and try to finish up. Would you let me pray before we begin? Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I thank you for your many blessings. God, I thank you for this place, and I do not take it lightly that my preacher would let me stand in his pulpit and preach. I pray you give him power today, dear God. I pray that you would be with him, and I know the concerns that are upon his heart today, and I beg you, God, that you just empower him as he preaches probably even now far north of us, but God, that you would use him to do a great mighty work in the church that he preaches to today. But here, God, here in Haines City, we still need you. We need you, Holy Spirit of God, to show up and be here in our midst and use your word to speak to our hearts. Dear Jesus, I pray I yield myself again the best way I know how, God. I know that it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by your Spirit. So Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would do a work that only you could do today, that you would go into the hearts of the hearers and that you would use your word to let Jesus be glorified today. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. In Job chapter number 10, if you begin reading with me in verse number 9, remember, I beseech that thee that thou hast made me as the clay. And wilt thou bring me into dust again? Hast thou not poured me out as milk and curdled me like cheese? Thou hast clothed me with skin and flesh and hast fenced me with bones and sinew. Thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation hath preserved my spirit. And these things hast thou hid in thine heart. I know that this is with thee. If I sin, then thou makest me, and thou wilt not acquit me from mine iniquity. If I be wicked, woe unto me. And if I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head. I am full of confusion. Therefore, see thou mine affliction, for it increaseth. Thou huntest me as a fierce lion, and again thou showest thyself marvelous unto me. You see that last verse? He finds himself in verse 15. He comes and makes a statement. I mean, a hard and fast statement that he's in a state of confusion. He says, I am full of confusion. Therefore, see thou mine affliction, for it increaseth. Thou huntest me as a fierce lion, and again thou showest thyself marvelous upon me. I want you to understand, I tried to define the word confusion because for some of us, we may, you know, I've been confused before. I saw a man when we went back to Maryland for just a couple weekends there this summer. I saw someone who got really confused while they were driving. You ever seen anybody do that? It's a big four-lane highway going each way, going to the beaches, and it was dark, and it was, you know, and my son's learning to drive, and he was watching with me, and he saw this man, and, you know, he should have come out from the road. He was crossing the main highway, but he was going to get on the eastbound lane. And so instead of getting on the eastbound lane, he turned and went up the turn lane from the westbound lane. He was confused, okay? And he was headed the wrong way up the highway, but he really thought he was doing the right thing. He had parked at the light. He had gone through the light. He had made the left turn that he thought he was supposed to make. And he was headed in the right direction. But friend, he was confused because he was on the highway that was supposed to be going the other way. Now, he found that out very quickly because we pulled across when the light turned and we watched. And to see what was going to happen. You know, there was no warning. There was nothing we could do. We just sat and watched to see what was going to happen. And we watched him realize there were lights coming at him. And instead of what most people do in this life, rather than saying, I've seen people like this, you know what? They think, I'm right and everyone else is wrong. and they continue to go. This person decided that was not the safe thing to do. And he pulled a U-ey and he came back the way that and headed in the direction he ought to be. But there are people that get confused in this life. And here Job was confused at what God was doing in his life. He was confused with the place that and the circumstances that surrounded him. He was confused with all these things. But can I just say today that this are some things that happen in the lives of people that are in a confused state. People that are unsaved and confused about how to receive Christ. Can I share with you today? Job realized, even though he was in a terrible state of confusion, he says this in verse 15, I am full of confusion. He came to a place where he confessed, I have a problem. I am the one. I am in confusion. I don't understand. I don't know how I've sinned. We don't have time this morning to tear the whole passage apart, but he realized that I don't even know what the problem is. I don't know where to start. I don't know where to begin. And he calls out to God in this passage, and he says, I am full of confusion. Therefore, see thou mine affliction. He said, God, take a look at this. God, get involved in my life. God, I don't even know which way to turn. Hey, can I ask you today, listen, instead of God trying to tell God to get in on your plan, can you just admit this morning, if you're lost and on your way to hell, just admit, hey, I don't know how to get to heaven. God, could you just look at my affliction? Could you just look on me this morning and see where I'm at and help me to get where I need to be? Hey, as a Christian, if you've been saved for a while and you feel like the fire is gone and you feel like you're dead and you're trespasses and sin again, you ought not feel like that as a believer. You ought not feel like there's nothing going on in this life, that you don't have a purpose and a plan and a person to serve. You ought not feel that way. If you feel like as a Christian you're in a state of confusion, maybe you need to just look up and say, hey, can you look on my affliction? Our God is not a God of confusion. He's a God of peace. We ought to be at peace knowing that we're in the will of God. We ought to be at peace knowing that we're serving an almighty God. We ought to be at peace knowing that we're right in smack dab in the will of God for our lives. Hey, we ought to know that we're a member of the right church. Hey, we ought to know those things this morning. It ought not be a mystery. It shouldn't be confusion. Confusion is defined as a blending or a confounding opposed to distinctness. Now, that's a Webster's 1828 dictionary definition. But you know what happens is that the reason we get confused is because somehow the truth to us has been blended with something else. Some distinct truth that was in the Word of God. Can I just say that we serve a God that there's no gray area with Him? Things are sin or they're not. It's truth or it's false. There's no middle ground, no halfwaysies. You know what I'm saying? There's no middle of the road with Him. It's one side or the other. And the reason we're in a state of confusion a lot of times is because we're trying to ride the middle of the street. As a Christian, if we know that we're saved, we're somewhere in the area of trying to ride the fence on some issue, and we're confused of why God's not blessing or what's going on or why we don't have any peace. Because we may be, listen, I'm here to tell you right now, we may be doing something that is great, something that is good, something that is the will of God, but I've seen people do it the wrong way. Because that book right there lays out how we ought to minister to people. Do you know there's a bunch of people out preaching Jesus today, but they're not preaching Him the right way? They're not preaching the same Jesus? I mean, right now, while we're in this building this morning, there are people just down the street that are showing Jesus still on the cross, and I preached that already. There are people just down the street that are leaving Him in the grave. There are people down the street that are saying He's a good prophet. There are people down the street that are saying all kinds of things about Jesus and in His name, but those same people, listen, there'll be a day that they'll stand before that same Jesus, and they'll say, I prophesied in Your name. Hey, I preach the name of Jesus, and He'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. Because they were confused about who He was. They were confused about the message. Listen, you shouldn't leave here confused today. You're in the middle, you're in a place that's got the right book, that's got the right message. You found yourself in a place, not only that, but can I tell you that it's not watered down. There's a book with distinctness. there's a Bible with distinctness. There ought to be a message of distinctness. And if you want to find out how in the world, Brother Parsons, do I find my way out of a state of confusion? As a lost person, you get saved. You let somebody take the Bible and show you just a simple, God made it so simple that he sent his son to die on Calvary and to pay for your sin and for my sin and for the sins of the world. And then he said that if you would simply confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, hey, that you have a living Savior. That's a lot different than the message it might be down the street. Hey, that he's living. Hey, he's waiting for you to call upon his name. Listen, this morning, if you're lost, the easiest way out of confusion is just to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But what about a believer? You said, Brother Parsons, I took that step. Let me turn with me, if you would, to Galatians. And I just want to preach a little bit, and I'll go there because I already got it marked. All right? I want to give you some of this last verse. Can I say that if you're lost today, here, just like Job, he says in verse 16, "For it increaseth, thou huntest me as a fierce lion." Before I was saved, I want to just say that God would not let me be. And I'm so thankful for that. He put an inborn conscience and a Holy Spirit who stayed after me. He went after me. I felt like, I remember before I got saved and I was 15, I was in a good church preaching the gospel, but I had not received it for myself. And I remember it seemed like something was hunting me. At night, I would go to bed and I would dream about hell. When people talked about things, I remember one night I went to sleep in the house. And everybody else in my house, they never did this. This has never happened before or after this night. And I was really confused, in a state of confusion, about whether I was saved or whether I was lost. And I woke up, all the lights were on, kitchen doors were open, things were just like it were when everybody left. I went out, the cars were all in the driveway. Some person that knew my family pulled in and picked my family up and said, "Let's go have ice cream." I had been up crazy hours working the night before, and they left me in the house. I woke up and everybody was gone. I remember standing, this is like the Saturday before I got saved, and I'm standing in the yard going, "You forgot me." I remember standing going, you know, really, I thought that the rapture had happened and everybody was gone and I was left behind. You say, Brother Parsons, that's just your mind playing tricks. No, that was a God that was hunting me like a fierce lion. He wanted me to be saved. That was his will, and he would not let me go. He was pursuing me. He was after me. You don't think that there was a pursuit of Job? Boy, once Job had some bad attitude, you watch what God does to him. You read that book all the way through. It's not a short book, can I tell you? There was a lot that happened. That first encounter with Satan happened in the first few chapters, but there's a lot of how Job got confused and how God dealt with his man. Not just to hurt him and to take things for him, but make it better. To bless him beyond more than he ever was before, to strengthen him as his man. Listen, I don't know where you are as a believer today, but if you feel like you're in a state of confusion, there's a way out of it. There's a way to get out of that. If you know that you're saved, can I just say in Galatians, look with me, Galatians chapter number 2, and you're probably there, but I'm not. Amen. It's in the book, I know it is. Amen. Galatians chapter 2, he says this. In verse number 16, I want you to begin reading with me, chapter number 2 and verse 16. "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." If you're one that takes notes, can I just say in verse, underline knowing. The Bible has so much to know about knowing, and I just want to say today, if we were to say, how do we defeat confusion, or how do we overcome it, how do we get out of a state of confusion? Number one, we must have infusion of the knowledge of the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can tell you the first step of me getting peace in my life and stepping out of what the confused state that I was in before I got saved, I got infused with the knowledge that Jesus saves, Jesus saves. I remember thinking all the time, boy, I don't want to do this wrong. I know the steps of salvation, and you can't do it wrong because it's the power of God unto salvation. It's just trusting. But you know, the reason I'd done it wrong is because I knew there was a Jesus, and I knew what he had done, but I'd never put everything that I was in my eternity in his hands and said, it's on you. I never had come to a place where I rested in Christ and in his finished work. I'd never come to that point. I'd never come to a point where I was, according to the scripture, justified, not by my works, but by my faith in Jesus Christ. And I can tell you, I remember that night, it was a youth rally, and I walked the aisle, and I came down, and I got ready to pray, and I said, no, I'm going to get a soul winner to be with me. And I went back, and I found a worker from our youth group, and I brought him down with me, and I turned the scriptures, and he read the Bible to me, and I asked Jesus to come into my heart. I put my faith in the finished work of Christ, and I was justified. I was infused that day. Can I say this? What happened? Something else that happened at that moment, my sins were forgiven. Now, there's this word, and this is a big word, and I'm a college professor, so I get to use this, all right? Suffusion happened at salvation. Can I define that word for you, what sufficient is? It means a covering. A covering happened at the moment of salvation. That means that the blood of Christ was applied to the sins that Barry Parsons had committed in his life and will commit. Do you know that the reason I left that state of confusion, amen, is because I was infused with the knowledge of Jesus Christ and I put my faith in him, and that at salvation, when I trusted him, a suffusion happened. And just not did I get something, but I got covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. It isn't, listen, can I just tell you today, we get so hung up, and there are people out here and people down the street that'll preach that you can lose what you got in Jesus Christ. And that's not true, friend, because it's covered. If we went to the book of Ephesians, we could see that the Holy Spirit seals us until the day of redemption. That same God, he takes care of all three parts of salvation, and it's suffusion, it's covered, it's sealed, it's done. I was infused, I was suffused at salvation. But more than that, listen, can I tell you? There was a transfusion that took place when he said, listen, now as a believer in Christ, you ought to read the book of John and learn who this Savior is that you grew up. I was in church, I grew up in church, but you know what happened? I can tell you that what has happened to me in this life has been the more I learned about God, I was transfused. I was transformed by the renewing of my mind day after day. You know, most of us are in a state of confusion today if you're a believer, because you think you're done with that book. You think that salvation was contained in that book. That book contains so much more than salvation. That book contains the way of life for the Christian. It contains every ounce of everything we ought to do. Hey, businessmen, everything that you need for your business to be successful is in the book. Everything you need to be a good mechanic is in that book. Everything you need to be the person that you want to be. I'm talking about, listen, God has given you gifts. And I know that, listen, that book is not going to teach you how to do every step of what you do, but it's going to tell you how to do it right. How to do it the Christian way. It's going to tell you how to do it, can I say it like this, successfully. You say, Brother Parsons, is a real, listen, I'm just telling you, the reason we're confused today is because we're not being transfused by the book. We're not constantly. Do you know that a person, the transfusion, there are people that transfusion is saved. My dad was in a terrible, I grew up on a farm. It might be evident, but I'll just, you know, especially the way I say suffusion, right? Amen. And so, but I just want to say, you know, my dad was, he was always a worker. I mean, he did all kinds of things. And on a farm there, you know, you just have to do it. You don't hire it out. You do it yourself. And I grew up on a farm, and my dad was, during the day, was working for a man, and he had a bobcat, a skid steer. It's, some of you call it, you know, a little dozer, whatever you want to say, but it had a bucket on the front of it, and it had foot pedals that controlled the bucket. And he was working real hard, and there was something in his way, and there was nobody there on the job working with him. He's by himself, which is not a good plan for anybody with equipment. And he climbed in the bucket, and he happened to just stick his foot down. And that was before the days that everything was super safe and all the things had safety features that you go, oh, why won't it work? You know, because you didn't hit this button to make something work. But he stepped in, and the bucket crushed, he slipped with his other, it went down between the bucket and the arm, and he crushed his foot in the bucket. And it took him a good while, you know, to gather himself and to get himself back upright and to be able to push and get broken free of it. And then he crawled. He couldn't walk. He crawled about, I don't know, I'd say probably from here to our gym to his truck. And he pulled himself in his truck and he drove himself to the hospital. And he got there. And when he got to the hospital, he had lost a lot of blood. And I was 15 years old. I was in school, and I was just doing my schoolwork. And I remember the principal coming in. I was at public school, and he came in and got me and pulled me out of class and said, "Son, you've got to go with your mom. Your dad is refusing to take blood, and he's going to die if he doesn't take blood." And he said, "The only blood he's going to take is from his son because he knows where it came from." And I, amen? And I mean, you know, and I was like, what? And, you know, so, and they were signing waivers and all kinds of things because I was younger than I should have been to be given blood. But my dad would not receive any blood except from my blood. And I remember them taking my blood and giving it to my dad and my dad being there. And, you know, and he was weak. And I mean, you know, he wasn't acting like it was life threatening. But I knew that it was a bad situation if they had come and got me out of school. But I thought to myself, if it was that important to my dad to realize that he needed, listen, he knew the only person that could give him blood on planet Earth that he knew was pure blood was his son. It was his blood. Can I tell you, listen, we as believers that believe in the King James Bible, why don't we act like it? Why don't we realize that it is the only place that we can get answers, that we can not be confused and distracted by the things of the world and what the world thinks about things, but that King James Bible that we believe is the pure word of God. When we want to build something in our lives, when we want to build our families, why don't we look to the book and say, this is the only place that I can go for a transfusion. This is the only place that I can go for truth. This is the only place that I can go and know for sure, beyond of a shadow of a doubt, that I won't end up confused when I finish, but I will have truth. I will have a foundation. I'll have what God wanted me to have. We look at Dr. Phil and think, what does Dr. Phil think? And we could go all down the list of all the books and helps and the magazines that you pick up on your way out of Walmart. But the book that you need to be reading is sitting on the shelf at home, gathering dust. The work of God is explained in the book. The family is explained in the book. We live, some of us, the way out of a state of confusion is to be infused by the Lord Jesus Christ. The way out of a state of confusion is to be suffusion, covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The way to be out of a state of confusion as a believer and to stay out is to be transfused by the Word of God, constantly, daily, always looking for the answers in God's book, not to man, but God and His Word. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as Savior, won't you just humble yourself, come down an old-fashioned aisle, and be infused by the only person that can take you out of that state of confusion, the Lord Jesus Christ. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand with me? The musicians are going to come. We have men and women moving to the front. If you're here and you don't know you're saved this morning, would you step out and come? As soon as the music starts, I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to help you, to give you strength to step out. But if you're like that this morning, would you step out and come? Dear Jesus, I beg you this morning to be with the sinner closest hell. Strengthen them, Holy Spirit of God, to take the first step out on the aisle and help them to receive Christ today. Well, thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.